Welcome to Nachyomi of the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Esther Shkup. Today we'll focus on the 18th chapter of Yirmiyahu, where the prophet records in the opening verses that Hashem had sent him to visit a potter's workshop to observe how the artisan fashions ceramic vessels. Kum v'yaradota beit ha-yotzer, v'shama ashmiecha et dvarai. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. Some scholars suggest that Yirmiyahu had been standing above the valley, where the artisans had set up their workshops near the mud banks of the Shiloach Springs, that were rich with a reddish clay needed for their craft. So Yirmiyahu goes down and observes how the potter works at the wheel. Ve'ered beit ha-yotzer, והנה הוא עושה מלאכה על האבנים. ונשחט הכלי אשר הוא עושה בחומר ביד היוצר, ושווה יעשהו כלי אחר, כאשר ישר בעיני היוצר לעשות. So I went down to the potter's workshop, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. At which point Hashem's message comes through to the prophet, beginning in verse 6. Ha-chayotzer hazeh lo uchal lasot lachem bet Yisrael, Neum Hashem. Hinei kachomer biyad ha-yotzer, ken atem biyadi bet Yisrael. Can I not do with you, bet Yisrael, as this potter does, declares Hashem. Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, Beit Israel. Then echoing Yirmiyahu's first revelation, Hashem continues in verses 7 through 10. Rega edaber al goy val mamlacha, lintosh velintots velhavid. Veshav ha-goy ahu mera'ato asher dibarti alav, וניחמתי על הרעה אשר חשבתי לעשות לו. ורגע אדבר על גוי ועל ממלכה לבנות ולנטוע. ועשה הרע בעיניי לבלתי שמוע בקולי, וניחמתי על הטובה אשר אמרתי להיטיב אותו. In an instant I can decree that a nation or kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down and destroyed. But if that nation repents of its evil, then I will relent and not inflict the disaster I had planned. And if at another instant I decree that a nation or kingdom is to be built up and planted, but it does evil in my sight and will not obey me, then I will reconsider the good I had intended to do for it. Hashem demonstrated that he is the artisan that shapes our bodies and our destiny. He had formed the first human being from earthen clay and infused the body with a divine soul, thereby giving it life and the capacity to recognize the difference between good and evil, and the liberty to choose between them, cognizant of the consequences. Created in God's image, the human being could partner with the Creator in preserving and developing the world into which he was born. But if a human being abuses his freedom and fails to live up to the potential with which he was endowed, the Creator can knead the proverbial clay and reshape it. Malbim explains that an artisan crushes the malformed pot, only to reshape it to perfection. In so doing, Hashem elucidated that suffering and illness are meant to correct and reform God's creatures, and not to eradicate them. The scene of the potter's workshop was thus meant to serve as a parable with which Yirmiyahu can goad his audience to do tshuva, as indicated in verse 11. V'ata emorna el ish Yehuda ve'al yoshvei Yerushalayim. L'emor כה אמר השם, הנה אנוכי יוצר עליכם רעה וחושב עליכם מחשבה. שובו נא איש מדרכו הרעה והיטיבו דרכיכם ומעלליכם. Now, therefore, say to the people of Yehuda and those living in Jerusalem, this is what Hashem says. Look, I'm preparing a disaster for you and devising a plan against you. So turn back from your evil way, each one of you, and reform your ways and your actions. Tragically, the people despair, believing that they cannot undo their fate nor alter their habits. So they respond in verse 12. Ve'amru noash, ki acharei machshevoteinu nelech, ve'ish shrirut libo hara naaseh. Ah, it's no use. We will continue with our own devices. Each one of us will follow the inclinations of his evil heart. Apparently, they rejected the notion that a human being can reshape his character, overcome his past, and is free and able to control his or her natural impulses. The prophet's audience, like many modern people, were convinced that a human being cannot be freed from the genetic and environmental constraints to which he was born any more than any other beast. Ironically, while so many in Yirmiyahu's generation had rejected the Torah view of human nature and its moral freedom, many Gentile philosophers were intrigued by it and began rejecting the pagan notion of predestination. Malbim points to the people of Nineveh as an example of Gentiles who adopted the idea that man can shape his own destiny. When Yonah the prophet arrived in their city, they took his message very seriously and changed their behavior and thereby averted disaster. Therefore, in verse 13, Hashem directs the Judeans, Sha'alu na bagoyim, mi shama ka'ele, sha'arurat asta me'od bitulat Yisrael. Ask now among the nations, who had ever heard of such things as the very scandalous things done by the Virgin of Israel? Mitzudat David explains that Hashem refers to Am Yisrael as the Virgin sarcastically, because she had pledged fealty to God alone, but had repeatedly betrayed the one who had redeemed and nurtured her. Thus Hashem poses the rhetorical question that is at the heart of this chapter in verse 14. Hayazov mitzur sadai sheleg levanon, im yenachu maim zarim karim nozlim. There is considerable variance among the classic commentaries in deciphering the imagery in this verse. Consequently, most translations are almost incomprehensible. Shaddal prefers the following translation, which imagines Hashem's bounty as reliable and quenching, securing the nation's physical and spiritual yearnings. Does the snow ever disappear from the mountaintops of Lebanon? Do the cold streams flowing from those distant mountains ever run dry? Abarbanel's commentary is consonant with this translation, as he explains Yirmiyahu's parable as a metaphor for reliance and faith in Hashem to life-giving pure waters that never dry up. This translation is consistent with the elucidation found in the following verses. Kishchachuni ami lashav yekateru. ויחשילום בדרכיהם שבילי עולם ללכת בנתיבות דרך לא סלולה. לסום ארצם לשמע, שחיקות עולם כל עובר עליה, ישום ויניד בראשו. But my people are not so reliable, for they have deserted me. They burn incense in vain. They have stumbled off the ancient highways to walk on an unpaved path. Therefore their land will become desolate, a perpetual hissing. For anyone passing by will be astonished and shake his head. Yirmiyahu admonishes Am Yisrael for abandoning the lessons of history and forsaking the values that withstood the tests of time, preferring the exotic and pagan practices of other cultures. But the people refuse to accept this rebuke and persist in their quest to imitate their idolatrous overlords. So Hashem decrees, Keruach kadim afitzem, lifnei oyev oref velopanim, ar'em beyom edam. Like a wind from the east, I will scatter them before their enemies. I will show them the nape and not the face in the day of their disaster. The hot wind from the east brings insufferable heat to the land of Israel, drying the life-sustaining waters to which the prophet's parable referred. Abarbanel suggests that Hashem will hide his face when retribution comes, and Am Yisrael will feel abandoned, having lost Hashem's protection. Perhaps this verse intimates that the veracity of the prophet's predictions will become clear after the fact, for they refuse to accept his word before the coming of the storm. Then, in the final section of this chapter, we learn of the schemes that Yirmiyahu's enemies were hatching. In verse 18, Vayomru lechu v'nachsheva al Yirmiyahu machashavot, כי לא טובה תורה מכהן ועיצה מחכם ודבר מנביא. לכו ונקהו בלשון ואל נקשיב על כל דבריו. Then they said, Come, and let us devise devices against Yirmiyahu. For Torah shall not perish from the Kohen, nor counsel from the wise, nor the word from the prophet. Come, and let us strike him with a tongue, so we don't have to listen to any of his words. Irked by his relentless rebukes, some of his own countrymen considered schemes to rid themselves of Yirmiyahu. Malbim explains that Yirmiyahu was a Kohen and had demonstrated wit and wisdom, but the people preferred to hear prophecies and sermons that were more palatable. When Yirmiyahu's opponents failed to execute earlier plots of assassination, they decided instead to besmirch him with Lashon Hara and slander him to the authorities for sedition. Outraged by the libel, Yirmiyahu turns to Hashem for justice, complaining in verse 20, Hayeshulam tachat tova ra'a, ki karu shucha lenafshi, zachor omdi lefanecha, ledaber alehem tova, lehashiv et chamatcha mehem. Should good be paid with evil? Yet they have dug a pit for my soul. Remember how I stood before you and spoke on their behalf to turn your wrath away from them. He then furiously demands that Hashem punish them most severely for trying to entrap him by twisting his words and spreading false rumors. The chapter closes with a final plea from a frustrated prophet. But you, Hashem, have known all their plots to kill me. Do not forgive their crimes or blot out their sins from your sight. Let them be overthrown before you. Deal with them in the time of your anger. Thank you for learning together. Le'ilui Nishmat Barbara Atlas, Bracha Bat Avraham. She was a beacon of light to all who knew her. Barbara's kindness and generosity had no bounds.